a look ahead to Tuesday's election, and a quick preview of the Haynesboro Assembly meetings. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Marta Friedenauer. That news coming up next. While most folks will be watching election returns Tuesday night, the Haynesboro Assembly will be meeting and talking about heliskiing, a vehicle tax, and the borough manager position. The Haynesboro Assembly meeting will start off Tuesday with a swearing-in of a new assembly member. Dave Berry will be sworn in for Seat 8, previously held by Damon Hoffman. Joanne Waterman will also be sworn in to a new term on Seat D. On the agenda for Tuesday evening is an ordinance regarding heliskiing up for adoption. The ordinance as amended so far includes an increase of the fine for permit violations, an amended ski tour map, a fee for allotted skier days, and a requirement to develop a system for receiving and responding to complaints. The Assembly will also have a first hearing on a motor vehicle registration tax. Manager Mark Ernest notes in his written comments about the proposal that several other communities enforce a vehicle tax, including Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan. The tax would be based on the year of the vehicle, and the newer the vehicle, the higher the tax. For example, Ernest notes the ordinance in its current form would levy a $122 tax on a 2012 vehicle. Vehicle models from 2005 or older would be taxed $16. But Ernest noted the Assembly could amend those tax rates if it chooses. As the rates are proposed, it's estimated the borough could net about $40,000, and it would be used to offset the cost of junk, abandoned, and impounded vehicles. Ernest has said with the funds, the borough could purchase a tow truck and create a small impound yard. Under unfinished business, the Assembly may also discuss Ernest's manager contract. The Assembly was slated to begin discussing a transition plan for the manager position after Ernest had said he would be leaving in June 2013, after his current contract expired. And there is an item on the agenda to discuss beginning the recruitment process for hiring a new borough manager. But preceding that agenda item is a motion on the table to extend Ernest's contract another year to June 2014. At the October 9th meeting, Ernest told the Assembly he was interested in extending his contract. Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman made a motion to extend his contract after his announcement. But Mayor Stephanie Scott suggested, and the Assembly voted, to table that motion until Tuesday's meeting. Under new business, the Assembly will decide whether to approve two resolutions for change orders on current projects with Southeast Road Builders. One is a change order for about $83,000 for the third phase of the Haynes Street improvements. The other is a change order for about $50,000 in the Linview, View, and 4th Avenues water system upgrades. For a complete agenda and meeting packet of Tuesday's meeting, visit the Haynesboro website. The meeting begins at 6:30 Tuesday evening in Assembly Chambers. And of course, Tuesday is Election Day. Voters will decide on who is president for the next 4 years. If Alaska's lone U.S. representative gets to keep his seat for a 21st term. And in Haynes and Clequan, voters get to weigh in on possibly the most closely watched race for state representative. Let's start off with the basics. Polls open at 7 a.m. Tuesday and stay open until 8 p.m. In Skagway, residents can vote in person at City Hall. There are three polling places in the Chilkat Valley: the American Bald Eagle Foundation, the Klaheeny Valley Fire Department for residents up the highway, and the Clequan A&S Hall for Clequan residents. And now for what you can expect to see on your ballot. Haynes and Skagway are now in different state House and Senate districts, thanks to the redistricting plan in effect for this election. Skagway is now part of House District 32 and will be represented by Democrat and Minority Leader Beth Curtula, who ran unopposed in the party primary. Skagway's new Senate representation is Senator Dennis Egan, but he is the only legislator not running for re-election and won't appear on the ballot. The redistricting board decided he did not need to run for re-election because the district for him is largely unchanged. Haynes and Clequan, on the other hand, get to weigh in on a close battle for House District 34, where Republican State Representative Bill Thomas and Democratic candidate Jonathan Christ Tompkins are vying for the job. Although in this race, Sitka, as the largest town in the new district, has become the center of activity for the candidates. Thomas is an 8-term incumbent from Haynes. Because of redistricting, it's his first time running in Sitka and many of the other communities in the district. His campaign is focused on his time in the legislature, his position as chairman of the House Finance Committee, and his relationship with State Senator Bert Stedman. Christ Tompkins is a resident of Sitka. It's his first run for elected office. He spent the campaign knocking on doors throughout the district and is critical of Thomas's support for tax incentives for oil companies. Chilkat Valley voters will also weigh in on the campaign for Senate District Q. Redistricting again is the cause of the shakeup in the race in this new district, where two incumbent senators are pitted against each other. Democrat Albert Kukesh of Angoon has served 16 years in the legislature, 8 each in the House and Senate. Republican Bert Stedman of Sitka has served in the Senate for 9 years. He is co-chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. Both senators serve together in the Senate's bipartisan working group, a coalition of Democrats and Republicans working cooperatively. That group helped defeat the governor's oil tax plan last session, which both senators say they will continue to oppose without modifications. On issues, the two senators have similar opinions, and they're more likely to praise each other than criticize, even while campaigning. They both say it's up to the voters to decide which one will best serve the district's needs. There are several items on Tuesday's ballot that will be the same for all three communities in the Upper Lynn Canal, including the two ballot questions. The first is a simple question that could cause considerable change in the way things work in Alaska. Ballot Measure 1 asks, shall there be a constitutional convention? If it passed, the state's entire constitution would be up for review. Supporters say times have changed since it was written in the mid-1950s. They think it should be modernized with changes such as creating a single legislative body rather than a separate House and Senate. Opponents say the Constitution is better updated a piece at a time, as it has been during its 50-plus years on the books. They argue opening the entire document could lead to drastic changes, such as the state's strong right to privacy provisions. Measure 1 has not gotten a lot of attention. It's been on the ballot every 10 years since statehood, and it's never passed. The other measure on the general election ballot is a statewide bonding proposition. It would authorize sale of almost $500 million in general obligation bonds to fund transportation projects, including a chunk of money for the Haines Boat Harbor. The largest bond projects are in South Central Alaska. $100 million would fund Anchorage road projects, $50 million would go toward expanding the port of Anchorage, and $30 million is on for the Port McKenzie rail extension. But about $65 million, or 15% of the state total, would be spent in Southeast. Projects include a $15 million upgrade to the Haines Boat Harbor and $11.5 million to improve Juneau's Glacier Highway and Mendenhall Loop Road. Proponents say the projects are needed and would create construction jobs. Critics say there's been little information and some of the projects are not community priorities. As we already mentioned, the House District 34 and Senate District Q races are close and garnering a lot of interest. They're also garnering a lot of money. Southeast Alaska's most expensive legislative campaign has gotten even spendier, and another has topped the $100,000 mark. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
As of Saturday, Republican Bill Thomas and Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins had brought in a total of about $180,000 in the race for House District 34. That's about $50,000 more than reported to state campaign officials in early October. Thomas of Haines brought in two-thirds of the new money. The other third was raised by Christ Tompkins of Sitka. Total campaign contributions followed a similar split. Thomas's overall total is about $115,000. Christ Tompkins is about $64,000. The district includes the candidates' hometowns, Prince of Wales Island, Angoon, Hoona, Metlakatla, and Cake. Not all of the campaign money is going through the candidates' treasuries. The group Sitka Republican Women bought a full-page ad in Sitka's newspaper praising Thomas and fellow Republican Bert Stedman. A Haines group called Friends of the Candidate took out a similar but smaller ad. The Senate District Q campaign, for most of Southeast outside Juneau, now totals about $120,000. Sitka Republican Bert Stedman continues to lead with about $19,000 of new money. That's about 60% of the combined $32,000 new contribution total. About 40% went to Angoon Democrat Albert Kukesh. The total fundraising split is about the same. Stedman gained new contributions from professional trade and health industry PACs. Kukesh picked up money from his party and a pro-choice group. The Angoon Democrat also got about $1,100 in new money from 8 employees of Sea Alaska Corporation or its subsidiaries and programs. Kukesh chairs the Regional Native Corporations Board. Throughout the campaign, about 35 Sea Alaska-connected officials and staffers have contributed about $6,000, close to 15% of the candidate's total. Board and employee family members increased the total by several thousand dollars. Thomas, who is also a board member, has only a few contributions from Sea Alaska staff. The corporation sent out mailers encouraging shareholders to vote for Kukesh and Thomas. They were labeled corporate communications, not campaign contributions. Sea Alaska also has formed an employees PAC, which lists no revenue or contributions. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Sitka.
And a disclaimer, all the numbers are approximate, and additional money may have been raised since this report was completed on Sunday evening. And a note about our election coverage, Tuesday evening you won't hear KHNS local news because we will be starting our live election coverage beginning at 4. We will have NPR, APRN, and local coverage all evening long. If you have any questions about where or when to vote, just check out the Alaska Division of Elections webpage or check out our KHNS News webpage or KHNS News Facebook page for more information. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.